Oh, I love this. Listen to this. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Boy, isn't that beautiful? I love that. That's Psalm 119, verse 18. Hey, happy Thursday. Good to see you this November the 17th, 2016. It's Joey Kroll with you. Can you believe a week from today will be Thanksgiving, and then right after that, that's where the chaos begins with Black Friday shopping. I think Aubrey told me, my wife told me just last night, that there's stores that are opening up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Thanksgiving for Black Friday shopping. Isn't that crazy? Oh my goodness. So hey, are you ready for Thanksgiving? I don't even think we even have plans yet. So my wife probably did tell me, and I totally forgot, so I might as well just stop talking. Hey, friend, are you having yourself a good week? You having a crazy week, a hectic week? Well, friend, I pray that you're having a blessed week, despite what's going on around you, that you're reminded of God's promises, that He'll never leave you nor forsake you, that His promises are true for you here in 2016. I hope you're doing well, though. Actually, tonight, looking forward to this, between 5:30 and 7:30 tonight. Come on out to the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square from 5:30 to 7:30, right there across from the food court, for my book signing tonight. So grateful that, Great News Radio teaming up with me. That's tonight. Looking forward to that. We'll have some desserts. Come on out, see what's taking place, what God is doing there at the Great News Radio Center. Again, at Lincoln Square, right across from the food court. Hope you can be part of that. That's going to be a great time for sure. And if you have a couple of minutes, be sure to mark down on your calendar Wednesday night, November 30th. Wednesday night, November 30th, 7 p.m., the Singing Men of GNN. Yeah, they're going to be singing the national anthem. It's so cool how the Lord just really opens doors up for those guys there. They're going to be singing the national anthem at the U of I basketball game, Illinois versus Wake Forest, Wednesday night, November 30th at 7 p.m. So come on out, be part of that. Also, if you have any Bibles, extra Bibles around the house, our friends at the Bible Foundation will be collecting Bibles there actually throughout the year, every day, for them to be delivered to refugee camps, prisons, homeless shelters, nursing homes, schools, and just so many other missions and places. For more details on that, if you have a collection of extra Bibles and you want it to be put to good use, maybe a Bible that you don't use as often, or you have found a better translation that fits you well, you can get more details on donating that Bible to the Bible Foundation for their Bible collection. That's going to be ongoing throughout the year. You can get more details at bf.org. That's bf.org for the Bible Foundation. Well, coming up here in just a few moments, we are going to be taking a look at God's Word, and we're going to talk about corporate prayer. That's right. There is power when the church corporately prays together. We're going to be talking about a praying church right after this here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, right here on Great News Radio.
Still I will sing, blessed be the name of the Lord.
You can always tell a true fan. Everything that he or she wears and carries has the team colors or a logo. A diehard fan may even paint their face in the team colors. You know, they're always ready to yell and cheer their team to victory. I've seen people in Chicago during Chicago Bears games in the dead cold temperatures of winter. There they are, their shirts off, and they got their chests painted and everything. And I'm thinking, man, it's not that serious now. But, you know, that confidence can be very different at an away game, especially if you find yourself surrounded by fans of the opposing team. Then you're sitting in hostile territory, right? Your chairs are drawn out by the screams of the home crowd. You may even feel threatened by the looks that you get every time you cheer for your team, right? You know, in a greater way, that is the reality for all who follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Living for Christ in a hostile culture isn't easy. It isn't. Opposition is real, but so is the one Christians follow. Those opposed to Christ and his followers may believe that we are on the wrong side of history, but we're on the right side of truth. Amen. So how does a church respond to that type of opposition? You know, we can boldly face any opposition because God is in charge, friend. Can I get an amen? Because God is in charge. So if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 4. We're going to take a look at a couple different passages here. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. And we're going to talk about when opposition strikes. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage against the peoples, plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Well, I'll tell you what, earlier in the book of Acts, Peter and John had encountered a crippled man and healed his affliction in the power of Jesus' name. And as a crowd gathered naturally after such a healing, Peter used the opportunity to tell everyone about the crucified and resurrected Christ. So Peter was sharing the gospel, and it annoyed the religious leaders. It had likely been less than maybe about a year since Jerusalem was in an uproar over Jesus' crucifixion, not to mention the reports of his resurrection. To ensure the name of Jesus did not consume the city again, the religious authorities arrested Peter and John. And of course, the Jewish leaders couldn't deny the miracle, but they commanded the apostles not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Wow, are we seeing any of that today in 2015? But Peter and John refused. Little backstory here to our passage here. And at this point, the religious authorities could do nothing more than just threaten Peter and John and just let them go. So in response, the people of the church, they didn't quit, nor did they fight back. They prayed. They prayed. Peter and John found the encouragement with communion of the saints, the people to whom you turn for support, encouragement, companionship in difficult times says a lot about your faith. You know, in Hebrews, it talks about not forsaking the assembly with other believers. And the prayer that they prayed in Acts chapter 4, verses 24 to 30, is a model for how we ought to pray when burdens are heavy and the crises are mounting and the enemy is threatening. Talk more to God about what he is doing than what the enemy is doing. You know, I heard somebody say one time, don't tell God how big your storm is, but tell your storm how big your God is. And I love that statement. You know, we could still go to God and pray about what's overwhelming us, but let's not forget about who he is as well. Amen. So notice that after exalting the sovereignty of God, the church made two prayer requests. They said, first, they offered a prayer of trusting submission. The church simply asked God to consider their threats. The church gave the situation over to God. That's what they did. Lord, consider their threats, they said in verse 29. They neither asked God to stop the threats nor pleaded with him to prevent the threat from coming to pass. They said they gave it over to God. And you know what? The threats of the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders, they're the same ones that allowed the stoning of Stephen. Herod had James, the brother of John, killed by the sword. Herod arrested Peter and held him for execution until God intervened. If you remember, Paul was arrested and held in custody for years. So the religious authorities meant business. They really did when they warned Peter and John not to speak in the name of Jesus. They meant business. Yet the church asked only that God would consider their threats. They also prayed for boldness. Oh my goodness, they prayed for boldness. They desired spiritual boldness so that they could continue to speak God's message fearlessly. I don't know about you, but after something like that, I would have my tail between my legs and say, God, protect me from them. I'm just being honest, you know. But they prayed for boldness in the midst of the persecution. And you know what? That prayer for boldness reflects the church's priority. They were more concerned about pleasing God and exalting Christ than their own safety. It made no difference whether they lived or died. It only mattered that the word of God was proclaimed. And deep down inside, that kind of convicts me. I'm being honest. I don't know what I would do in that situation, but kind of looking at it from afar, I think I know myself enough where I would pray, God, protect me from these crazy people. But the believers, they desired spiritual boldness so they could continue to speak God's message fearlessly. And you know what? And again, that goes back, that reflects the early church's priority. They were really more concerned about pleasing God and exalting Jesus than their own safety. And it made no difference whether they lived or died. It only mattered that the word of God was proclaimed. And you notice how they start their prayer off in verse 24. It says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. I'll tell you what, there's something special about a church that prays. There's something special about a praying church. Verse 24, it says, Sovereign Lord. That's how they started their prayer. Do you know what the word sovereign means? You know, sometimes we kind of use that in such a way where it's just a church word, and sometimes we just say it and sometimes forget about the meaning. It's a supreme ruler. It's possessing supreme and ultimate power. They were going back to the only source they knew that truly had the power and the authority to do something about that situation. And guess what, friend? That's still true for us today. We can boldly face any opposition because God is in charge, friend. He's in charge. No matter how bad it looks on the scoreboard of life, God is still in charge. He is the supreme. He is the sovereign Lord. That same sovereign Lord who they prayed to in Acts chapter 4 is the same sovereign Lord who we pray today in 2015. So how can you cheer on the spiritual winning team, even in hostile territory? Be a supportive influence in your local church, friend. Like Peter and John, believers came to corporate worship every week in search of refuge from a hostile world. Don't just show up to get your own needs met. Be determined, friend, to stir others up toward love and good works. Submit to His sovereignty daily. Begin each and every day this week, next week, by expressing your submission to God and trust Him, and pray for boldness to share your faith. Who is that person God has placed in your life who is hardened against the gospel? Maybe someone in your neighborhood, maybe someone you go to school with or work with. It may be even in your own home. Don't give in to fear, friend. Don't give in to fear. Don't back down because of fear, and don't give up on them. Pray, friend, pray for spiritual boldness. See, when the church prayed, God did something great around them, in them, and through them. We can still experience that today. Trust God to bring a spiritual breakthrough as you pray in faith. We can boldly face any opposition because God is in charge.
Jesus.
Now, talk about an anointed song right there. That's the Rocket Town Chorus, and you are my all in all. Hey, friend, it's Joey Kroll with you. You can always drop me a line, joey@greatnewsradio.org. I'd love to hear from you. Hope you can make it out to the book signing tonight at the Great News Radio Center this evening from 5:30 to 7:30. Well, coming up tomorrow, Mark and Jason in the studio to help you get through your Friday, 7:32 a.m. Central Time, tomorrow morning for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Until next time, friend, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your week.